Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Explorinate Podcast.
Welcome back to the Explorinate Podcast. It's been a long time. My name is Rob. If you guys don't remember, I'm the host of this thing. And joining me tonight is Ben. Welcome back, Ben.
Cheers, Rob. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's been a long time. So I'm glad to get the gang back. And we're going to be talking about Galciv 4 and a few other things. But before we do that, let's welcome Drexy back. Welcome back, Drexy.
Who the hell are you people?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know who you are. Why did you ring me? Is this a scam?
It is.
You're not getting my credit card details, mate. I'm hanging
Listen,
up the phone.
There's a warrant for your arrest, and if you don't send us $500 in gift cards, you will be arrested.
I keep getting these phone calls saying, oh, you've got something in customs, phone the HMS or whatever it is. I don't know. I was like, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, we get these scams here as well.
Great. Scams. And so, well, are you done talking about scammers? Are you good now?
Yeah, you can continue.
Thank you. Tonight we have a special guest. His name is Ilana, and he's here to talk about Galciv 4. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you. So we actually handpicked you because your knowledge of galactic civilizations, really in general, is pretty extensive. But we also noticed how extensive your knowledge of Galciv 4 is. And considering we're talking about that game today, we figured we'd have you on. So welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
No, I've been playing Galciv 4 since Supernova. I started a little bit with the original base game. You know, been playing 4X games since Civilization 2.
Excellent.
Cool. Can I ask, have you played the previous Galcivs before, or is this your first one?
I picked up Galciv 2 from Shovelware Bin at Target. They would have them for like $9 and tried that out and really enjoyed the game. And then I participated pretty extensively in the Galciv 3 beta.
What were your ending thoughts like at the end of the game when it was all said and done with all the expansions? Like, where were you on a, you know, like, I won't say a 1 to 10 scale, but like, how were you feeling about Galciv 3 as a final product?
As a final product, I enjoyed it. I think it, you know, there's some mechanics that... There was a lot of different mechanics in the game that I think it, in some cases, got to be too much. Like the government stuff was interesting, and then it took a long time for me to wrap my head around like which mercenaries to pick up.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Galciv 3. I mean, it's a very good game. I think in a lot of ways it's very good, but it did have feature creep. It started to feel a little overwhelming, and it didn't focus on the right things, but. We will talk more about, I guess we won't really talk much more about Galciv 3, but we have a lot to talk about with Galciv 4 here in just a few minutes. Before we do that, I wanted to go over some of the latest news, and I know that Ben wants to tell you about a recent game announcement.
Right, so Illwinter have announced finally Dominion 6, and I think that they were kind of, they were dropping some pretty subtle hints over the last sort of year or so that a new game was coming out. And I think, you know, I think most people guessed that it was going to be Dominion 6. They only do two games, really. They do Conquest of Elysium and Dominions. And we've already had a Conquest of Elysium game in the last few years. So it was time for Dominion 6. It's been announced. It looks really, really interesting. It's more of the same. So, you know, if you're expecting a radical departure from, you know, from the last game, you're not going to get it. It is an iteration of the, you know, the previous titles, and that's kind of how Dominions work. They don't release paid DLC. they just resell the game every 5 years or so. But they always add a fair amount. And this time, it looks to be a sort of quite drastic change to the way that combat works. The battles are going to be bigger with more sort of troops, more focus on actually the national troops, and less on, you know, huge batteries of mages. So, yeah, I think if you're a Dominions fan, you should pay attention to what's, you know, to what's happening. I think if you're not a Dominions fan, you know, maybe take a look at it when it's released, but it's not doing anything drastically different. It is just a sort of natural progression.
Very good. I know there's a lot of people out there that love Illwinter games, so that'll be something to look forward to, among many other things this year. And a few things, I'm just going to go down the list on here since we've left. We haven't gotten together in over a month, so there's a lot to talk about, but I'll go over some of the highlights. And the first of which, maybe for some of you, is that Master of Magic has a new DLC coming with a new race called the Soul Trap. And they are, to the chagrin of some, maybe even many, a steampunk race. And with them are coming a lot of new heroes that a lot of people are kind of, I would say, at the very least, they're pretty pessimistic about him. Some people are just outright outraged. And, you know, understandably so, because I feel like the heart of Master of Magic was a very like fantasy setting. And now they're adding this steampunk stuff that is kind of contrary to what I thought the essence, the soul of Master of Magic was. So I know there's a lot of people that are upset about it, but I, you know, as someone who has no dog in this fight whatsoever, I'm willing to give it a shot. And I look forward to seeing what that is. It's just a couple weeks away, I think, in August. Yep, late August, August 28th. So we also have the new DLC for Distant Worlds 2 coming. It's going to introduce the Quamino, I think that's how you pronounce it, the Quamino, and the Gazurians. And I've been playing with them. I know Ben has been playing a bit with them too. But yeah, they're going to be great, a great addition. That's all I can say. And hopefully what I'm hoping to see next is, instead of adding more DLC, I'm hoping they go back and revamp and kind of, you know, overhaul the starting races, the ones that came out with the base game, because now the DLC races feel way better in almost every regard than the base races do. So yeah, I think that would be a focus that they should really hone in on. So, and then last but not least, well, there's really a lot of stuff going on, but the things that I think are most important also too is that Zephon, the post-apocalyptic 4X game that is supposed to be, you know, a 4X iteration of the foundation that Warhammer 40K Gladius set, made by the same people, Proxy Studios. It is now out in a demo form so that you can play the first 50 turns. I think it feels pretty good, but it does feel a little too familiar. So I'm hopeful that the next demo, it's called Demo 1, so I imagine this might mean that there's going to be more demos, you know, over the course of the next year. So I think that's when they're saying roughly that it's going to be out, is about this time next year. So I'm hoping that we get demos that kind of start to showcase some of the things that make Zephon unique. As it stood with the first demo, it kind of felt like a great game was there, but it's not there yet. You know, the combat's great, the graphics are great, but the gameplay itself feels pretty damn familiar, and the graphics themselves and the user interface, it all feels very much Gladius. So I'm hoping to see more soon in regards to the uniqueness that Zephon will bring.
Just going back to Distant Worlds first, I'm surprised they haven't released more updates for the original races. They did say during this year they'd be like updating the original races, and we haven't seen that. Maybe we'll get a bunch with this patch, maybe, hopefully. And yeah, Zephon, yeah, I mean, it's like you're saying, it's very much like Gladius, and we're not in this demo, it's not really showing all the new and cool stuff, which makes it more of a 4X, because what is it? There's only two players, basically. So yeah, hopefully we'll get a bit more fleshed out demo of that as well.
Also, I really didn't like how they've released a timed demo. Like, I absolutely hate timed demos in games. I didn't like it when they did it with Xenonauts. I hated it with Master of Magic as well. And I don't know why, but I can't help but feel that part of the reason why I didn't end up really getting into Master of Magic was because I played that timed demo and I got, you know, put so much effort into the first campaign I did, and then it cuts off. So I don't know. I just think that I'm not quite sure what they were hoping to achieve with that, with the Zephon demo, really. It doesn't really show anything new. It's definitely got better graphics, and the combat looks more, it looks better than Gladius, actually. That looks like there's more to the combat. But I kind of wish that we were able to see more of the 4X side of things. There just wasn't really enough time in that short amount of time that they gave you to play it. So yeah, it's a bit disappointing. Also, before can I just comment on the Master of Magic DLC. It looks awful. I really like Muha. I think they're really good usually, but the art that they've released for these new characters and stuff, it looks so bad. And the character choices they've come up with are just so like thematically like bad. There's like a lolly girl on a bloody, wielding guns on the back of a pig. It's just like, who's come up with this stuff? I mean, and I've seen so many complaints on the Master of Magic Discord about it, and on the Steam group as well. People are not liking it at all. So I'm kind of worried for that one.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that the overwhelming response to the DLC was that this is not Master of Magic. And I think they were screwed either way, because no matter what, they needed to, I mean, there was probably some sort of Slytherin influence here, but I think that they wanted to branch off and make their own idea of what Master of Magic would be like and expand on it. But, you know, I don't think that they were going to make the right decision for anyone, regardless of what they did. And I think this is probably the worst decision they could have made, aside from maybe like a group of like pink fairy feminists or something. I don't know, like some weird, like just like super political statement, you know, like I think other than that, they went with something that really doesn't feel like Master of Magic. And I think that the fans have let them know that pretty well. So, and I don't blame them. Right. So I think there was a lot of ways they could have gone, and this way was probably one of the worst. So, but again, I'm with you. I think Muha does a very good job usually, and their art's usually very good, but this art that they've put out for these heroes, you're right. The girl riding the rhino or the pig, and then there's like, you know, other random people riding different mounts, and it just doesn't seem like Master Magic to me. So there's a game that we definitely need to get into and actually review like we were supposed to, but it's all good. We'll get to it eventually, and maybe one day we can sit down and talk about Master Magic, but I don't think I'll ever like it, so it is what it is. But we're here today. Actually, you know, before we move on, I wanted to talk briefly too about some changes coming to Age of Wonders 4. They're doing a lot to kind of improve the quality of life for the player. And very recently, they released a dev diary talking about their changes that are coming to the underground. And it basically wants to make the underground layer feel more unique and also more visually appealing, as it states. And so with that, they are going to make a bunch of changes. I'm not going to list them all here. In fact, what I'll do is I'll link the changes in the description. But yeah, the idea is that we're going to see some nice quality of life things. I think with the DLC coming probably, I don't know, I'm going to guess probably late August, early September, because they said it was coming in the summer, that whatever that little DLC is might come along with this large amount of changes that they're making. So I'm excited. I think that'll be good.
Can I ask, is anybody here still playing Age of Wonders 4? Because I fell off it really quick, and I think I was a little bit earlier than other people, but from speaking to people in the community, it seems like I'm not the only one. Even talking to Daz Tactic, who's a big fan of the game, he was saying that he's getting a lot of comments from people watching his streams and videos saying that they've kind of got bored of it already, and I'm wondering what's gone wrong there.
I'm not playing it anymore, and probably for the same reason why I'm not enjoying Kelsey 4 as well, which I'll get into when we get there.
Yeah, I haven't played Age of Wonders much at all either lately. I went through the whole story campaign, and then I jumped into the Dragon DLC. I think I got through two combats, and then I backed out.
Yeah, I have to admit that I've kind of fallen off myself. I think that the main draw for me right now, and the one aspect of the game that really bothers me, is how little each playthrough feels different. And I think they really need to address that, because there's a lot of people starting to complain on the forums and through Discord and everything like that, that no matter what they do with regards to their very customized racial build, the game feels very similar. And I remember that being a complaint of Stellaris early on, and they did a good job of making the various different race types unique and feel a little bit different as they played through, but it never quite fleshed out the way I was hoping to see it. And I'm hoping that they can take Age of Wonders 4 and actually make these various racial builds that people are creating feel more asymmetric and more unique for each playthrough. So that's why I think a lot of people are bouncing off, because it just, like, once they realize that, like, oh, I can make all these cool builds, but like the game doesn't really feel any different, and people just were like, all right, that's it. So it's still the most successful Age of Wonders game. It's still the most successful Triumph Studios game. So I think that we're going to see a lot of Age of Wonders 4 content in years to come. In fact, they've made a few posts saying basically the same, that they plan to support Age of Wonders 4 for much longer than they've supported any of the Age of Wonders games prior. So I think that'll mean a bunch of DLC, but I also think that might mean that we might get something a little more in line with what I was hoping to see in the beginning. So maybe those builds that they come up with will actually feel unique.
There's still a lot of people playing it. That's, you know, so it's been successful. And, you know, I looked the other day at about 3 a.m, about this kind of time, and there were still like 950 people playing it at that time. So it's obviously sold really well. And those numbers are better than Age of Wonders 3 was doing, if I remember right. So it's obviously, you know, people are enjoying it. I agree with you, Rob, though. It just feel like every playthrough is pretty similar. And they put in a lot of cosmetic stuff, but I don't really feel like many of the mechanical changes really make much difference on the strategic map.
Yeah, and I think they're aware of that too. I mean, from the comments I've seen the devs make, it sounds like they know where they want to go with this and how to make it more of a unique experience each time you play the game, but they're just not there yet. So we will come back, of course. And I think, I mean, I don't want to say too much, but I definitely can tell you that I have an interview set up with Leonard Soss, the main lead, like, I guess he's the studio lead, and maybe one of the other guys there too. And that's going to happen soon. So we'll have an interview with them, and maybe we can prod them a little bit to see what they think, you know, the future of Age of Wonders 4 looks like. But with that said, let's talk about Gal Civ 4, which is Galactic Civilizations 4, for those of you who don't like abbreviations. And I want to go ahead and I think there's a couple like things we need to put out there real quick. First of all, none of the things that I'm about to tell you are going to affect what we talk about here or how we talk about it, because we're not paid to say anything, but Ben and I are both being paid in different ways by Stardock. So they have a sponsored link on the Explominate website. So, you know, I think that most people would assume that that makes me like biased for them, but I'm going to be bluntly honest, as I normally am. And I think we're going to, you know, I just want to immediately put aside any kind of fear or concern that I might be nicer to Gal Civ 4 because we're receiving some ad money from Stardock. That is not the case.
Don't worry, I'm here to shit all over it, so no need to worry, people.
Yeah, I brought on somebody specifically knowing that he doesn't like it very much. So we have some balance here. And Ben also has been contracted to, or maybe even hired. I don't know. What is the status there, Ben?
I started off doing some contract work. Now I'm a full-time employee starting tomorrow. So yeah, I'm working for Stardock now. So, but the same as with Rob, right? Brad's made it quite clear that what I'm doing with Stardock shouldn't affect anything else that I do. It doesn't affect my YouTube channel, and it doesn't affect what I do with Explorminate. So obviously, providing I don't break NDA, they're happy for me to, you know, to talk about whatever. So I think the reason why Stardock, part of the reason why they found my videos is because I was covering Galactic Civilizations 4, and I was really into it. Even on the first few playthroughs, I really, really liked it. So it's kind of, you know, if I'm going to be positive about it, that came before I got hired. So I want to make that clear. However, there is a conflict of interest there. So people need to know that when they hear me talking. So I'll always disclose that whenever I do a video or talk about Gal Civ or any Stardock game.
Right. And at the end of the day, while there might seem like there's a conflict of interest with me because we're receiving ad money, I mean, I would rather be honest and open and, you know, critical if I need to be about a game than take anyone's money. So at the end of the day, if it came down to me being critical and open and honest about what I feel about a game versus taking ad money, I'm going to always go with being honest and discussing a game in the way that makes me feel like I'm being honest. So with that, I will also mention too that if it bothers anyone here, Ilana is a moderator for Stardock on the Gal Civ 4 Steam forums. So not that that really does anything. He's not paid to do that, and certainly not getting or receiving any sort of kickbacks. So we're clearly somewhat intertwined with Stardock, but that doesn't mean we're going to be any less critical where we need to be. With that being said, I want to talk quickly about the things that I initially spoke about with Galactic Civilizations 4 as a base game. And I wrote a rather scathing review of it. Maybe not even that scathing. I think that I was actually pretty generous because most people said that I was being too nice, which is insane to me. But I did go into some detail about what I thought was, where are the shortcomings, right? And if I think we actually did a podcast on Galaxy 4 as a base game, so I don't want to go too much into that. So what I'm going to do is probably link that or just summarize them real quick now. So my main concerns were that a lot of things felt like they were unfinished, which is no surprise to anyone who maybe has seen the evolution of this game at this point, because they could likely see that it felt like some of the stuff was left on the table for Supernova, which is likely the truth, right? Because I think what they did was they took Epic money and they developed it as much as they could, and they got to a point where some things had to be left off on the cutting floor, and they did all that. So they've come back now with Steam money and some, you know, a wider audience, I should say, with Supernova, and now they're shoring up some of the things that I thought were definitely shortcomings, you know, and now it's starting to feel like a much more fleshed out game. So with all that aside, and with all that in the back, I mean, again, I'm going to, at the very least, I'm going to link my review that I dropped it on Christmas or Christmas Eve. I forgot. It was really not my best timing. I was thinking about the fact that I was giving it to our audience as like a Christmas gift. Not that, like, you know, here's my words, be blessed. It's just that a lot of people were asking for the Galaxy Civ review, and I was like, all right, it's finally ready. I'll just drop it on Christmas Day or whatever. So I did that. And then Brad was very upset with me because he was like, you realize that a lot of the people at Stardock are going to read this on Christmas and be like, well, they just shit all over our game. And yeah, that part I feel a lot of regret about, but I don't feel any regret about the words I chose. I just feel regret about the timing. So like I said, the link will be in the description for the review, the written review. If you want to catch up on that, please do so. But I'll start this off, this discussion, by maybe asking each of you for your general impressions. I want like really pie in the sky stuff. Like, like I like the game or I don't like the game. And I'll start with you, Drexy.
My pie in the sky is I do not like the game and I don't even know why it exists.
All right, that's the kind of blunt honesty I wanted. What about you, Ben?
No, I'm the opposite. I love it. And I loved it before I was working at Stardock. When we first played it in Epic, I bounced off it a little bit. I didn't feel like it was anywhere near ready. I didn't think it was worth really talking about it too much because it just seemed quite unfinished. Whereas now it's got to that point where it needs some polish, but it's a really good game. In fact, it's one of the best Space 4X games I've got. I think it's better than... Okay, I'm not going to do that. I was going to say I think it's better than X, but I'm not going to do that because I need to wait until the game's finished to be able to make that kind of judgment. But for now, I can't tear myself away from it, and which is lucky because it's the game that's being developed by the company I'm now working for. So I'm quite lucky in that respect that I'm, you know, working to promote a game that I really like. But I do like it. I think it's a really, really strong game. It's a proper 4X game. It's not just a war-focused game like most 4X games kind of inevitably devolve into. There's a lot to it. The AI is really good. The AI is interesting. It does interesting things. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
And you, Alana?
This is literally my favorite game right now. I like Rob, the original Galaxy 4 I kind of bounced off of. But since Supernova's come out, it's pretty much consumed all my time.
Can I just ask you all, what is it about Supernova that's impressed you so much compared to the base game? Because maybe I've not played enough. I can't really bring myself to play too much, but I can't see that much difference, really, personally. I know I'm sure there's like some new mechanics and blah, blah, but it's still the same game for me.
Well, I'll start by saying I think the pacing is much better. They did a lot of, you know, minor tweaking to, I mean, even just the scouting range and the fog of war reveal range. Like I know it sounds like a really small and simple change, but it did start to make the game feel more like you're actually discovering things and out there exploring the universe. And that was like a very early and a very significant change in a lot of ways, but more so they've done just a lot with, you know, changing how the the traditions work. I mean, every system that they had in Galcev 4 is now tighter and better, in my opinion. Like the decisions you're making through the tradition trees and all these other things that really just kind of go into what was the original Galcev 4 game. But now I feel like they've trimmed a lot of that down to make it feel like there's much more interesting choices you're making. And that's where I think they feel the game feels much better.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there, Rob. It's kind of like incremental increases right across the board. So everything that they put in there that just felt half finished is now feeling 95% finished, I'd say. So that, and I think that they've started making some changes to the combat system, which was one of the weaker sides of the game, I thought. And in, you know, more recent versions, the combat's really starting to feel a little bit more meaty, and like there's more player agency with regards to the way that you build your fleets. They've trimmed the tech tree down and made it so it's less just kind of incremental numbers, you know, and more meaningful things actually put into the tech tree. The game evolves in a much more organized way now as well. So, for example, the techs will, like, for example, the tech tree might open up a cultural change, and then, you know, the cultural stuff will in turn open up new things that you get to play with, whether it's, you know, new star-based modules or, you know, planetary things that affect your planets, like the planetary, I can't remember what they're called now, but like the sort of the planetary upgrades. All of this stuff's kind of like hidden in layers now, and it unveils the more you play it. And I think that gives the game a much more interesting exploration phase, really. And yeah, other than that, like just like Rob said, it's just really tightened everything up. I think the actual game design for Galaxy 4 is really good. It's a really, really good game design. 4X is an old style of game now, and most 4X have got just stuck in a rut, where this is really forward thinking in many ways, yet it still kept all the core concepts of 4X. It hasn't had to strip anything out.
Since Galaxy 4, I think the pacing is actually one of the big things too, as Rob said. Also, traditions before was like Pokemon, you just collected them all, and now this was a very controversial change, but now people have to actually pick a tree that they're going to go down to, and actually there's a lot more thought in like which culture tree to pick. And then I think one thing that drove me away from Galaxy 4 is just like, I, you know, at turn one I could like move halfway across the map every time I moved my ship, and it just felt really odd.
Yeah, I think, well, I'll clarify my point. I know I'm sounding very negative, but it's not just Galaxy 4, it's 4X games in general. I just feel we've ended up in a rut, and all we're getting is iterations of previous games rather than anything new, and I'm just so sick of it. 4X is very boring for me at the moment, because, you know, we're getting Age of Wonders 4, Distant Worlds 2, Galaxy 4. It's just always an iteration. I was actually thinking about this the other day. People have a go at Paradox for, like, totally just rinsing out a game. Like, you know, how long's EU4 been out? Like, 12 years or something daft? And actually, I think rather than having a new game, I think a lot of the times you could just release DLC and patches for your previous games. Now, I see why companies do that, because obviously releasing a new game a lot of the times, especially if you're a smaller game, it will bring more money into the company, and I get it, but I wish they would come up with something new, something different, totally different, something we've not seen before, because, again, it's just, you know, we had this with the Moo clones. Now we're just getting companies are just cloning themselves, and I'm finding it very boring. Age of Wonders 4 has been really disappointing to me. Yeah, I've only been playing war games recently. I've not even been playing 4X.
Well, I mean, so I'll say that I understand some of what you say, because I do believe that the iteration that is Galaxy 4 wasn't as, you know, I don't know, bombastic as I would have liked to have seen at first. But the few gentlemen here that have said, I just feel like the product now is becoming so much more compact and tight, and it really has changed some things. I know you're saying that like they're all doing the same shit, but like with Galaxy 4, I really liked the colony versus homeworld thing, or not, whatever, just capital world and colonies. What this mechanic makes it feel much more manageable, especially on, you know, larger maps where you can change and tweak the planet variety and stuff to make it so that you only have maybe a half dozen homeworlds and, you know, a shit ton of feeder colonies that really start to feel much more manageable. And also it starts to feel very expansive too. You have this like giant empire, but a lot of the like the smaller minute details are being, you know, managed at this like colony level. And I think that's really cool. And I know that it's the first iteration of that, and that it's like a thought that's now like become a gameplay mechanic, but it's actually really well done. And I think it's a lot of fun. And then on top of that, I think that the other stuff that they're doing with ChatGPT, and I know that that's not really something I'm super interested in, but I see how that system and that technology will expand 4X games and games in general, really, in many different ways. But, you know, the way they've used it so far and the race generation stuff is really cool. And it's produced some really cool, you know, backstories and basically like just unique, you know, one of a kind races, really. But I also see its future in the way that quests will be written, the way that, you know, the gameplay will evolve, because, you know, they could use ChatGPT or like some sort of like GPT. They're calling it Alien GPT, whatever it is. But the thought process would be that you could, you know, have, yeah, like I said, quest be conjured up by this AI, or, you know, that there could be unique situations that have to be diffused between two different parties, or, you know, get some like real Star Trek shit going on with this technology. And I think that they plan to add the quest stuff. You know, I'm not sure if that's still in the, you know, in the works, but I still think that the idea that they've started to push this technology inside a game, a 4X game of all places, it's the first one to really take this and run with it, is a pretty big step forward. And I know that you're looking at just gameplay, but I also think that this stuff is I mean, it's a part of gameplay, but it's also, I think you're just not giving Galsif 4 enough credit, I think. Because I'm with you. I totally agree with you. Like, the 4X genre is stuck in a rut, but I think, you know, in this not so small way, Galsif 4 and Stardock are trying to make things a bit unique and new and push the genre forward a bit.
I can sympathize with what Drexy's saying as well. I think that 4X is in a bit of a rut, but let's give it a little bit of context, right? We are a smallish community full of older blokes, generally speaking, like mostly men, and we've been playing games a long time and we're hard to please at this point. It's really difficult to market a 4X game to 4X gamers because they hate everything. And, you know, it's really like things that get their attention. Like, look, Age of Wonders 4 took, you know, we went mainstream. Okay. There's no denying that. But you'll find that a lot of old, you know, the 4X community, some love it, but I think the majority don't. And I just think that it's really, really like Drexy is indicative of like the rest of us in a sense. He's played many, many games. He's been playing 4X games for years. He's focused on 4X games quite extensively, not just with Explorminate, but just as a gamer. And I think once you've played them to a certain extent, you start seeing their problems. So it's understandable why there are certain branches of 4X games that have survived while others have kind of tailed off. So we saw a big again, Drexy mentioned the Moo clones that came out. That's when I kind of got back into gaming, was when we had like Stars in Shadow, Interstellar Space Genesis was on the horizon. You know, they had a whole load of Moo clones all came out all at the same time. And I loved those for a bit. But I think what it is that certain games have just stood out. And Galsif is one of those that's always been its own thing. It doesn't really copy any other game. I think it's closest maybe to the original Civilization, but I think at this point, I mean, if you go back and play Galsif 1, which I did recently, that even Galsif 1 was pretty different to Civilization. And I think that being able to kind of put the whole 4X stagnation into context around some of these other games that have kept going, you can kind of see why, you know, some people just kind of don't gel with certain games. Like, I find that I've always liked Galsif. I liked Galsif. I didn't really play Galsif 2. That was the one that I missed. And I heard that a lot of people say that was the best one. But Galsif 3, I liked. I kind of liked it on release. But I think that the end game, you know, the Galsif 3, as it was at the end, it was still a bit of a mess, but it was still a good game. But Galsif 4 is a step up above. And it's only, I mean, it's not even released yet. It's still in early access. You know, Galsif 4 Supernova. And even at this stage, before it's even been released, it is a far, far better game than any of the other Galsif games. And, you know, arguably it's better than most of the other Space 4X games on the market, I'd say, because it just does that Space 4X thing right. Anyway, I'll let Drexy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, and I've never really been a fan of the Galsif games. it's really hard to please me. And actually, probably Galsif 4 is the one I've played the most when it was on Epic. I think I put maybe close to 100 hours into it when we reviewed that. But can I just dip in and ask, I mean, Daz Tactic was talking about this on his stream the other day, about how, I know it's a bit of a tangent, but how games who go to Epic and then come to Steam are not doing very well. And is, like, we've discussed this in the past, like, yeah, you get a lot of money up front, but it kind of kills the fanfare for when a game comes out on Steam. Like, I'm looking at the Steam charts, and the biggest peak Galsif 4 had when it was released on Steam was 416 players, and that's it. And now they're down to, like, maybe 200, which isn't too bad when you look at some other games. But I think this whole going to Epic kind of kills the enthusiasm for a game when it comes finally comes to Steam, even though it's had like a year or 2 years, I think it was Galsif 4 was on Epic for.
Okay, this is just speculation on my side, okay? But I think you're right. I think Epic, a lot of people don't like Epic, and they're, you know, no matter what your opinions are on that, it's a fact. There are a lot of gamers who will not play a game if it's been on Epic or if it's on Epic. Some will happily wait until the game is released on Steam. Now, again, this is entirely my own opinion. I think that you get... Really, you only really get two chances now for your game to sell well, okay? So when the game originally goes into early access, because a lot of people are using early access now, so you've got the early access period is when the game first sells, and the game has to be good enough that people don't just panic completely. And then they've kind of like given it this sort of, you've got this extra life as well that happens when the game is released, okay? So you've got two kind of opportunities for your game to sell well. If a game releases poorly, it might, like, I'm going to use Distant Worlds as an example. If a game like Distant Worlds 2 released quite poorly, and it will be a good game, or it is quite a good game now. It will be a very good game, I think, when you know, they've spent more time polishing it, but it's never going to sell well now. That is it. Like, that is, you know, I'm afraid, in my opinion, I don't think it's ever going to make, like, it doesn't get that chance now to have this period where people all suddenly start buying it, unless someone like Seth Zientach or someone does a video on it, that, you know, that's it. So you've got to be really, really careful releasing games that aren't ready, because if you do, it might well become a great game in the future, but is it going to sell well? Drexy, just let me finish my point quick. So I think what's happened with this whole Supernova thing is, through some kind of, you know, kind of video game necromancy, I think Stardock have given Galsif 4 a third chance, in essence, because it came out on Epic and people don't really buy it a whole lot on Epic, and they got loads of money for it, and then it's come out on, you know, then they released it onto Steam, and I'm not quite sure what happened there. I don't know how well it sold. I don't think it sold particularly well from what I can see, but now they've got a third chance, which is, you know, because they've kind of gone into early access. So they came out of Epic into Steam early access, so unlike other games, they've got this third chance now to make it a success. And in my opinion, and again, all of this is just my personal opinion, okay? I think that a lot of people are watching Galsif 4 now because they've seen some of the positive coverage that, you know, like some YouTubers have been giving it. And they're seeing sort of the reviews are coming in, and the reviews are a lot better than they were. Like, it's quite rare for games to release into Mixed or whatever it was and then move out of Mixed. Like, Distant Worlds has not managed that. Whereas Galsif's actually, the reviews are increasing. They're getting better and better reviews. So I think a lot of people are watching the game now, hoping, you know, that when it releases, it's going to release in a good state. And I think, providing that it does, it's going to sell really, really well, this one, because I think they're aiming it at not just the standard 4X game, you know, the traditional 4X market. I it looks like they're trying to get it out to other people as well, like with Age of Wonders, where they really broke out into the mainstream with it. And the Alien GPT thing's one way of doing that.
The problem is, the numbers are so low for a game to release on early access and only get not even 500 players. People buying it is pretty ridiculous, especially if you consider those of us who transferred our game over from Epic to Steam to buy the Supernova. I mean, okay, Distant Worlds 2 didn't do great, but it got, I think the peak was like 5,000 players on release. This has got less than 500 players on release, and I don't see how, when it comes out of early access, it's going to get a huge amount of people buying it. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I think, didn't GC3 even do really well at release? Didn't they sell quite a lot of GC3? And now this looks like, I don't know, people just not excited for it.
As far as GC3, it had some trouble too. And I think it has similar problems that Galsa 4 has had. I honestly can say that Galsa 4 didn't have any trouble because it released on Epic. I think if it released on Steam, initially it had been the same problem. Part of the problem is they're very ambitious, especially going from the normal traditional, you build colony ships, you put colony ships everywhere, and then you control every single colony, to the core world and colonies concept. But as far as everything else, it's coming out pretty well. It's taken a little while to get everything going. A lot of people they just don't trust early access anymore. There's so many games out there that have burned people, so it's hard to say that if it's going to, you can't look at early access numbers and say, oh, this is performing poorly. There's only a few people playing the game. It's just no one wants to put their money down and get burned.
Yeah, I think the golden age of early access has long passed. So there are a few people that are like just outright not going to buy it whatsoever in early access, even though they might buy it or very likely will buy it once it comes out in version 1.0. But I mean, at this point, I think that the general consensus for most of those players that are playing is that like Galsa 4 Supernova is a much better, much tighter, much more interesting product than Galsa 4 was, and that they have done enough to trim things down to make it more interesting, to make things like make these choices much more asymmetric, much more engaging, and therefore it just starts to feel like a better product overall. So I think that, again, what Ilana said, that they also they changed the distance that you can move at the beginning of the game. There's just so many things that they've changed, so many minor things that they've changed to just make the game feel better. And it starts to feel like a much more, a polished product in a lot of ways. Not even polished, because I still think there's some polish lacking, but the gameplay just feels much more tight and much more engaging. And there's a few things that I still want to see. I really want to see how they're going to implement minor factions, because from my impressions, they want to do something different. And that's why they haven't implemented anything yet. And there was like this very rough, it wasn't really a prototype, but it was kind of feeling like a rough outline of what they were trying to do. And it seemed like they might be doing something different with minor factions. And I hope that they do, because I feel like that could be something that they could again, revitalize the genre with. But other than that, other than some tweaking and some polish and adding the four races that haven't been added yet. So there's those four new races, one of which isn't new, but four new races to Galsa 4 that are coming, and those haven't been implemented yet. And I'm hoping that they do like an asymmetric pass, right? An asymmetric pass, because that's what I always harp about. I really want to know. I know that the statistics will say that the humans are the ones that are played most, and they really shouldn't focus on any of the other races, but I play almost everything but human, and I enjoy, the weirdness of some of these races. And I'm hoping that they wave that asymmetry wand over everyone a little bit harder and a little bit more thoroughly, and then also do that with the four races that are coming. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on, and I think that my main concern, if I'm honest with everybody and I'm honest with Stardock, is that I feel like they're very, very good at getting things going and then falling right before the finish line. There's going to be something that I know is going to piss me off when it comes to version 1.0 that I felt like shouldn't still be in the game, or should have actually been added or something to that effect. And I plan on making a lot more time for it in the coming months, because I know they have a fall release date like ETA. And with that, I want to do what I can to help shore the game up as much as they possibly can. But I almost want to put my paycheck on the fact that they will release it in a state that's not quite filling its potential. Let's put it that way. That's the nicest way I can put it.
Before we continue, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I feel like we've kind of started in the middle here. It's important for us to kind of let people know what the game is, right? Because so for any of you who haven't played Galciv 4, it's a hex-based 4X game, very much like Civilization, okay? So it's not like a node-based game like Stellaris or Master of Orion or basically any of the other 4X games, space 4X games. It's quite unique in that respect. And I've got some criticisms of the game, but first I want to say what I like about the game, okay? The reason why I've fallen for it in a big way is because I feel that it's one of the few 4X games now where you can really play it in any way that you want. You don't, like, it's not shoehorning you into one kind of play style. And this is one of the big complaints that the 4X community have. I want to play the game the way I want to play it is a common like cry that we hear. And this is one of the things I think people will like about Galciv 4 if they give it a chance, because you don't have to play it as a military game. You always have to have some kind of maintain a standing fleet to stop people from invading you, because that's part of the game. But you don't have to focus completely on war. The diplomatic side of the game is really good. And the reason it's really good is because the AI plays completely the same game as the player, and it's got its own goals, and the AI is programmed quite well. So you'll actually see it doing deals with the other factions. It will, you know, they'll be trading with other factions. If there's a nation that's dying off, it's losing, it will start trying to make alliances with the other factions. So even though I didn't really think that Galciv was very high on the sandbox side of things. If you think about that kind of little poll that Lucid and I came up with about games kind of having a sort of puzzle versus pressure kind of thing, you know, or pressure versus sandbox, however you want to see it. I actually think Galciv's straddling right in the center. It's a very gamey game in the sense that there's lots of numbers and, you know, you can see that it's kind of got, it's almost played like a board game, but it's also very, very open in that you can approach it in however you want to play. Like it's a viable tactic to say you're playing as the Iridium, you know, the corporate sector, whatever they're called now, and mass loads and loads of cash, because cash will be able to buy you out of all sorts of situations, whether it's, you know, you're in a war, you can just buy ships from one of your neighbors, or, you know, you can buy like materials that you need in order to buy the better ships. There's a load of interesting, like they've made all the strategic resources meaningful now, whereas before they were kind of like, you know, you just needed them just to build ships. Now they're starting to, you're starting to need to use these strategic resources to actually build certain types of, you know, the very best of the components on ships, or the very best of the planetary upgrades. So there's an element of kind of wheeling dealing that you need to be doing as well with your neighbors. It doesn't always pay just to go to war with everybody. Sure, you can play like that, and some of the civilizations are set up so they are war focused, but you know they're not all like that. You can win through the cultural victory, like through pushing your influence out. So you can really wage a very aggressive kind of cultural campaign where you are racing for the technologies that increase your culture and taking strategic locations so that you can push your culture out. But you can do that in a surreptitious way without immediately raising the ire of the people around you. So anyway, that's what I like about the game. I think it's a very, very open sandbox game while still having very tight game mechanics and presenting pressure in a way that is challenging, especially if you put it on the higher difficulty settings. It is quite a challenging game because the AI is pretty good.
Yeah, the AI does. Any AI in any game, like everyone, like if you go on any forums, everyone's like, does it have good AI? It's like, well, AI is only so good in any game. But the AI in Galciv has actually been pretty strong. I mean, it's going to do bonehead AI things. It's going to send ships along and not always interact with things that it's flying past, or I think sometimes, you know, you look at how the AI develops their worlds and you're like, why, what are you doing? I think one of the other things I like about it is like some of the really unique races. Like I really like playing the Zloxi. They're basically, think Star Trek, Orion pirates, green humanoids, and their shtick is the crime lord ability. And the crime lord, you can, they have a policy where you can set up trade routes and then push crime to all the other factions that you have trade routes with. They also have executive orders to do things like you can claim a pirate world, which is really nice after you conquer a faction, because any colonies that they have will go pirate unless you've claimed them already. There's also, you have the Drath, and they have this War Profiteers ability. And with War Profiteers, you can set up trade routes with everyone and then go into diplomacy and get the all the AIs to fight each other. And then you get a 200% trade bonus for all your trade routes, as long as they're, at war. So I've had a lot of fun. I've had with like the different mechanics, even like Terran Resistance versus Terran. They're not the same faction. They're very unique. Terran Resistance has these policies for extra research and they have insane growth rate. Where the Terran Alliance, they're your stock basic. You know, they have pretty good research and diplomatic bonuses, but they're the explorers of the Galsiv universe.
I think one of the things, this is a bonus and a bit of an issue with Galsiv, is that they've, in recent versions, particularly since Supernova, they've actually made all the numbers more meaningful, right? So some of the bonuses that you're getting at the start of the game, they are significant. And some of the event bonuses that you get are significant. Like some of them you get, they add like a flat 20% bonus to research, which is absolutely huge. So when Alana's talking about the war profiteering thing with the Drath, what you don't realize is that, yeah, it gives you 200% trade income. That doesn't sound like a lot. It's like, oh, well, you know, double trade, who cares? That's game changing, by the way. It's massive. Like tourism is also really powerful in Galsiv 4. So if you build up your tourism, it's super lucrative. And then there's an event that you can use. I forget what it's called now, but there's an executive order. That's it. There's an executive order you can actually get in the game. It costs like 100 control or something. Oh no, it's 20 control. It's really cheap. And it actually doubles your tourism income. So you'll see your money. Let's say you're making 500 per turn, which is kind of a lot. It'll go up to 1,000 because you're just doubling the amount of like tourism that you're getting. So then all of the modifiers and stuff in the game have become much more meaningful. And they make, so Rob was saying that he feels like the game, they're not quite asymmetric enough. I'd actually argue that they are. Here's the problem is that the way that the game is at the moment, it doesn't telegraph a lot of this stuff. It doesn't tell you. Like, for example, I think a lot of people, like Alana and I were talking about this before. There's the Terran Resistance, right? You might pass them by because they've got this, one of their starting traits is resourceful. And it just says, oh, you start off with extra resources. And that doesn't really seem that useful. It's like, oh, well, I get a few extra resources at the start of the game. No. What the game doesn't tell you is that resourceful is a trait that has cultural stuff attached to it as well, and other bonuses and event things that come up that actually make them really, really strong. But the game doesn't tell you, and that's a real problem. So I think a lot of the issue with Galsiv is that it is a super, really well-produced game, and it's really tight. The problem is, it's just not all, like, people don't know about it. And I think, you know, I think that Stardock have got to get on the case of really showing people where Galactic Civilizations has depth where other games are missing it, because it really does. It's way deeper than most Space 4X games. The problem is, it's just not all immediately apparent because a lot of it's hidden. And, you know, you can't just rely on YouTubers to kind of go, hey guys, this game is great and here's why. I think that, you know, there's got to be, some of it has got to be kind of telegraphed in a way by saying, you know, like, just for example, when you're choosing the Terran Resistance, when it says resourceful, the tooltip should tell you, this will open up other, you know, game options later, because it does. It's huge. It's a real big thing.
Well, and to further that point, I think that there might be a synopsis as to like their play style for each of the games, you know, like if you go, or each of the races, I'm sorry. So if you pick the Terran Resistance, you know, you might know that they're a little bit more resourceful or whatever, or you go to the Federation or whatever. I forgot their normal generic humans are, but the generic humans, like, this is your, you know, your default race, and they, you know, the expected first playthrough. And then you go to the Zaloxi and it says like, these guys are conniving and use, you know, various things, whatever it is, like just a synopsis of what it is that makes each race unique.
They do have that. The problem is that I think that it, you know, having an overview of the faction is fine. I think it's important that they specifically state things where there are hidden mechanics. So I think that, you know, they're like, you know, they will tell you what the Zaloxi do and that they've got, you know, ability based on crime. Until you've played them a little bit and seen how strong it is, it doesn't always kind of get in. So you've got, unfortunately, Galsiv's always been like this. It's one of those games you've got to play quite thoroughly to really sort of appreciate the detail that's in there, particularly with the way that the AI, I mean, for those of you who hate games that play with different rules, you know, when the AI has different rules, this is one of those games where the AI plays exactly the same game as the player, pretty much. I don't think that it's, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think it cheats in any way. So, you know, it is going to, like Alana said, it does have, occasionally makes goofs, all right? And the other thing I've got to say is that as they're racing towards release, the game is changing a lot at the moment. They keep tweaking things. Like if you go onto the Galsiv 4 Discord, you'll see Brad on there every single night, and he's constantly chatting to the players, and he's saying things like, "Hey, what do you guys, you know, what's on your guys' wish list right now?" And they'll say, "Oh, blah blah blah," and then you'll come back half an hour later with a screenshot saying, "Right, fixed it." Do you know what I mean? So I think the Stardock are doing their usual thing of they are really well known for rapidly, you know, taking on board customer complaints and trying to fix things. Particularly at the moment, they're really, really working hard towards that. But my problem is that the game's changing so quick at the moment, it's quite difficult to be able to pin down. Like for a start, I've not been able to do a Let's Play because by the time I've started it, you know, I mean, a Galsiv 4 playthrough is about 30 hours, right? 20, 30 hours on a decent sized map. So by the time I'm halfway through, they've changed the version. So it's rapidly changing at the moment. That's one issue.
Yeah, I will give a positive to, when Brad actually gets involved with one of the games, you do see a lot of progress in the game. So it's weird the way Stardock works. It's like, if his hand's not in it, then things kind of flounder. But once he gets excited about a game and starts, you know, putting his hat into the ring, things really do improve. And look, I know I've been negative about it, but I will, when 1.0 comes out, I will give it a really good shot. Because, yeah, like I've said, I've seen Brad in the past actually being able to turn a game around and make it actually really good. I'm just worried that will it be enough for the average person to want to pick the game up? That's my biggest worry with this game.
Actually, last point. The average person picking up is a little interesting because I think the big thing is, especially if you come from Galsiv 3, it's going to be, there's a lot of mechanics that don't work exactly how they expect. They look like the Galsiv 3 mechanics, but they work a little differently. So I think, you know, on that point, it's actually, that's where the document or the help options, you know, things that you put in to teach people the game are very important.
Okay, so I think the big issue with Galsiv is that I think on Steam you really need to impress people in the first 3 hours. And since a lot of the best parts of Galsiv are like, you know, 6 hours into the game at least, you know, when you really start seeing the game open up with a sort of mid-game text, you're not just playing with fighters anymore, you're starting to get the better ships out with, you know, more of the interesting components. And so I think it's really going to be down to Stardock, how the Stardock market the game, because they've got to make it exciting for people who are new to the genre and, you know, aren't necessarily going to see all that the game has, you know, all the wealth of kind of gameplay that's in the game in that sort of period where they're on the fence, right? So I think, I mean, partly what I guess I'm going to be doing at Stardock is, you know, doing things like tutorials. And that is going to be really, really important because, for example, I'll be able to sort of say to people, hey, right, here's what you're doing at the start of the game, right? But this is why you're going to be doing it, because later you're going to face this situation. And it's really, really interesting because if you've done it this way, then you've got this option. But if you've gone that way, you've got this option. And I think they kind of need to, it needs to be explained to people a little bit, like what the, you know, the depth that the game has, because like with any 4X, it's so difficult to see that when you're starting out and you've got, you know, you've got a colony ship, you've got a fighter, you've got a planet and whatever else, you know, your scout. And you're like, right, okay, what do I do with all this stuff? And, you know, well, you're just starting your journey right here. So, yeah, I think it's whether, I mean, I understand Drexy's kind of, he's a bit concerned about the amount of people. You have to remember that a lot of people who were playing Galaxy bought it on Epic, so they don't want to buy it again on Steam. So that does mess up. I mean, if you're using Steam charts, for example, which is what Daz was doing, I think, when he was looking at it, like, it's not going to give you an accurate reading of how many people are playing, because believe it or not, people do buy games on Epic. It's not, you know, it's not like this dead platform. Like, they do get a lot of sales. So, you know, we don't know from just looking at Steam charts how many people bought Galciv on Steam, as on Epic, for example. So, you know, it's difficult to kind of gauge how well it's doing. I do think my own observations are that from talking to people in the community on, you know, Reddit, on, you know, on the Explorminate Discord, just talking to people on YouTube and watching Daz Tactics streams when Daz has been talking about it, there's a lot of people watching Galciv, and I think they're Galciv 4 Supernova, and they're watching and waiting because, as Alana said, people are kind of sick of they're kind of sick of buying games in early access and getting burned. So I think a lot of people will be waiting for the full release, and, you know, be with their eye on it, going, you know, okay, is this game good now? Is this game worthy of my money? And that's going to be up to, I think that's on Stardock to really show, you know, put its best foot forwards for, you know, with this release, which I expect is why we're seeing the game rapidly changing at the moment, because I guess they're gearing up for a release at some point soon.
I mean, that was all well said. Shit. I don't even have much to really add to that. I think you're spot on with what needs to happen moving into version 1.0. So, and you're kind of someone who has some influence on that. So, Ben, get to it.
I'll do my best, man. It's like, I'm just the guy who does the videos. And we all know, right, from past experience that Stardock make good games. I've always said this, like, before when I first joined Explorminate, it was one of the things that I said on the first podcast. Like, I think Stardock make good games. The issue is that the game's got to sell well as well. Like, it's important for the game to sell well for them. So that's like, if they release it and it's got like a lukewarm reaction, it doesn't sell very well, you know that Brad's going to make it a good game eventually anyway, because he's obsessed with the games. So he just keeps making the games better and better. But obviously they've got to make money. And so it needs to be a solid release. And it's got to be really good on release. I actually think the game's there already. I think that once they've settled down with, you know, whatever like little changes they're making here and there, and they've stabilized it, and they've fixed a few little, like, there's stuff in the UI that bugs me. Like, today I was playing and I was trying to I disbanded a fleet in the fleet screen, right? And then I was trying to put the ships together back into a fleet, and I was having to singly click on 15 ships. And because you're holding shift, because you've got to hold shift to click it, but then the shift holds down the tooltip. So you've got to go from right to left, not left to right, because if you go from left to right, you're going into the tooltip. And that bugged me. I was like, right, there's some stuff in the, you know, in the UI that really needs a bit of, you know, and you know me, I'll put up with the worst UIs. Like, I'm famous for not giving a shit about UI. But I think that Galciv has got a few little things that it needs, you know, doing to it. But as it is, the game is great. All they've got to do, that it's on Stardock to make sure that people know that this game exists, that it is good, that it's got a lot of depth, that the game design has been specifically designed to fix all the big bugbears that people have got about 4X game.
One thing that I could have swore it was changed when it was on Epic, but when you get those pop-up events where, you know, you get like two or three choices, and you know me, my memory's terrible. I can't remember which tree I was going down and whatnot. So I would like to minimize the pop-up window so I can actually see which bonus I should pick for what sort of build I'm sort of going for, because I can't remember. I could have swore they changed it, but you still can't do it, and it's really annoying, and they really need to change it. I'm sure Rob had this problem as well, right?
Yes, I do.
So, Ben, get on the case. Sort it out.
Yes, I was actually curious you know, about the pop-ups. There is a lot, but actually since they changed the survey vessels, you don't necessarily need to build a lot of survey vessels. Most of your events are going to come from that. But there is a problem where not all the, I'll sit on my stream and I'll be looking at, and I've played for almost 900 hours if I add up all my hours from Epic and whatnot. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to get from this from this reward. And it's part of it is I did a lot of generation with the GPT to, you know, generate some of the quest text. But then, you know, other they just have to go back and get some tooltips in there for especially the artifacts.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. That is one book. That's one problem that the game has. Like when you get these events, or you know, this is going to affect a planet in some way. You really want. I think some of them now. It will say, oh no, you've got planet Macedonia or whatever, Macedonia 2. On Macedonia 2, event has happened. You know what choice? And you're like, well, I don't know which choice, right? But actually, if you hold your mouse over the name for Macedonia 2, it will actually show you the planet statistics now. So I don't know if that's new or whether it might be new, but yeah, basically that I think that one has been fixed for the most part.
Yeah, that has been the planets, and if it's a governor, it will show up like that. There's a, you know, who's being affected by it.
Well, I just to further your point, I mean, like at this point, really, it's I really honestly believe that, you know, the game's going to be in its best place, not by huge changes at this point. It'll be by minor changes to the tempo and the balance and pacing of this game, and then adding a system with minor factions that makes sense and that's actually engaging and doesn't feel like it's just tacked on. So the rest of the stuff I feel like is extraordinarily close. I think you're right. I think you're really close to a game that feels very good, that will play very well, that will feel like a version 1.0 game and will sell well as long as people remember it or like actually know of it. But you know, the rest of it is going to be minor things, right? I think, and I'm with you. I can't really think of anything that I really want to see different. I'm starting to see some really great stuff. I mean, even just the recent stuff where like the aliens are talking to you differently during trade windows. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of immersion here, you know, and that's something that really gets me in a 4X game. So I'm actually playing it on hold just because I want to see where we get at version 1.0, especially since, as Ben mentioned before, the game is changing rapidly. And so I'd rather just put it on hold, check in occasionally, play 20 turns and, you know, hold off that major playthrough, you know, for later. But I'm really confident that they could do this. I'm just really nervous that, like I said before, that they're going to fumble the ball right at like the, I know to make it an American football thing, but they're going to fumble the ball like right at the 99-yard line. I'm sorry, at the 1-yard line, 99-yard line. Seriously, I don't even know what I'm talking about. At the 1-yard line. And then, you know, and we're going to see something that should have been fixed or that's crucial to the enjoyment of the game. And that's just because I've been burned by Stardock a lot. I love you guys, but that it just feels like that's what happens.
This is what I meant to say earlier, actually, was that I was talking to Daz Tactic about this, and Daz always had reservations about Galsif. He's like, oh, I love the game, but it doesn't have tactical combat. And tactical combat won't work in Galsif. Brad mentioned this, you know, on our podcast, but I completely agree with him. Now I've played the game loads more. By the time that you get to the sort of mid-late game, you've got about 20 or 30 battles every turn. It's like tactical combat would just be a drag. So what they've got...
Age of Wonders.
Yeah, but I mean, Age of Wonders has got tactical combat, but there's not that many. The way that they dealt with it in Age of Wonders was just by going, okay, well, now you're only allowed 5 armies. Like that's a, you know, that's why I don't like Age of Wonders, man. Like the way that they try to fix the new ones, anyway, the way they try to fix problems with 4X is by just cutting things out. It's like, you know, this streamlining inverted commas. I hate it. I hate that approach to game design. It's lazy. Like there's better ways of doing it. And rather than going, oh, well, 4X has got a problem with late game drag, let's just stop the game. Let's just force the game to be small. That's just lazy. There's better ways of doing it, right? But anyway, talking to Daz was saying to me, like, I kind of passed over Galsif a little bit because I really like what it does. He goes, I like everything about the game pretty much, apart from the combat system. But he said, now I'm starting to play it more. I'm actually starting to see, you know, wow, I've really missed out on a good game here. And I just thought that was interesting to hear because, like, whenever I've watched his live streams, he always has that caveat. He's like, I love Galsif, but, you know, he goes, I like Galsif, but I don't love it. And it's because it hasn't got tactical combat. And I think that now he's kind of seen that the tactical, there is nuance in the tactical combat, and the way that you build your fleets is really important now. Like you have all these different weapon types and the different ship sizes and have different roles and the way that they target one another. So you really, really need to be very, very careful about the way that you compose your ships. It's like Conquest of Elysium in that respect. Like it's all about the army and fleet composition. I think my big wish for the game now is that the way that invasions worked was a bit more fleshed out. Like at the moment, it's just a countdown timer, basically. You know, you go to invade a world, you put him under siege, it says 4 turns, and that's based on, you know, your soldiering ability and you know, some of the technological stuff and whatever ships you've got, versus the way, you know, the soldiering ability and the, you know, the militancy of the planet. And at the moment, that doesn't feel very satisfying to me. That's my one big gripe about Gal Cif 4. I think it works in the sense of, you know, it's quick and it facilitates the speedy play of the strategic side, but I just like a little bit more control in there, or just, you know, feeling like there's something that you can do, you know, to alter all those, you know, to kind of influence those numbers. They've managed to do that with the fleet combat now. It feels more satisfying because you get that feel good when you put the right fleet together, where you destroy a fleet that's loads bigger than yours because you had the right things. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I don't feel that the ground combat has that yet.
Yeah, actually, in ground combat, I miss the Gal Cif 2, like the little figures running across the screen and fighting. I think they removed it at the last expansion or something like that for Gal Cif 2. But they used to have these little figures that they would run across and they'd fight. And it didn't matter what was going on there for mechanics. It was just kind of fun to watch. And then as far as probably my biggest gripe, and Ben is probably very aware, my opinion, and it's the UI. The UI is beautiful to look at. But yeah, the one thing is I want the UI to show what's going on behind the scenes without having to hold down the shift key and on every element. I think there's a lot of battles where, you know, I'm constantly hovering over and seeing like what's displaying on the screen, and they are going to address that. They're getting rid of the combat rating and going to start displaying the attack and defense values. And then the other thing is I want to be able to control what colors, because I will literally every game, if I play the Zloxia, I will spawn next to the Dorians.
Yes, that's my other thing that bugs me as well. They've actually, the way that the game looks now is a lot better with regards to the way that, you know, the colors, but I wish you could in-game change one of the colors of the you know, the AI factions, because I've had that in my most recent game. Exactly that. I was a Taurians, started next to the Zloxi. I can't tell the difference between my planets, my fleets, their ships. You know, it's just, and I zoom out for the strategic view all the time. It's super useful. But, you know, yeah, it's just sometimes some of the colors are a little bit too close.
Yeah, especially Terrans and Mymot and I think by entire stream, you could just hear me complaining. It's like, I have no idea whose ships are whose. They're the same color.
I think the way that maybe they could do that is by double bordering. So like, you know, for example, Terran Resistance could have blue with a purple behind it, and Mymot could have, you know, the light blue, but maybe with like a, you know, like a lighter, like a lighter blue behind it. Just have some kind of consistent scheme so that they're not getting too confusing.
I will say, I wish they put the effort into the actual in-game UI and graphics that they did for the character design, because we've spoke about this on a previous podcast. The races and that look absolutely amazing, but it's a bit jarring as well when you actually go to the in-game map and stuff like that. It does look...
I don't know. Look, compare the graphics. I've heard this critique before, but if you look, people were going on and on about how great the graphics were in Age of Wonders 4. They're no better than the ones in Gal Cif. Like, if you look at the... if you zoom in on the character, you know, on the ship models and the planets, they look great. So I don't see it, man. Like, unless I'm... I don't know. Like,
I think it's just the colouring of the borders and the badges and stuff. I don't know. There's something that just feels a bit 2010s-y to me. I don't know.
fair enough. Maybe it's an aesthetic thing, but I like it. I did see one of the guys from Explorminate, who's a UI designer, saying he did not like when you zoom out to a certain level, you've got all these kind of badges and stuff. And he said that, you know, it felt like they were getting in the way of the gameplay. I just don't see it, but I don't know if that's, I can't remember. That was a while back. And to be fair, like, the game is changing so rapidly, you know, that it's just, I can't remember what was changed 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago or, you know, last week. Or but yeah, I think people just need to really keep an eye on it and look at it when it is released, whenever it's going to be released later this year. And, you know, when it's out, take a look at it and, you know, see what you think. But yeah, I'm biased now. So just don't take my word for it.
Yeah, you're damn sure. I am surrounded by shills.
This is that whole law of attraction.
This podcast.
I thought I was going to be the shill.
No. You see, this is like that whole law of attraction thing. People, you know, people on the 4X Gaming Reddit keep calling us shills for Stardock so much that it's finally happened. Like we, me and Rob just get called shills for absolutely everybody. Like whether it's Stardock, whether it's Slytherin, whether it's, you know, all this stuff. So it's like they've kind of wished it into existence. Like it's like, right, I'll go and get a bloody job at Stardock then. And Rob's gonna be taking that evil Stardock money for his website.
Yeah, no, I do see the irony in that. But whatever, let them all eat their cake. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it did sound a little bit more like we were shills than I expected. I think it's a fear of the unknown for me, and I realize that this is predicated on past behavior. So I'm not saying that I'm completely entirely wrong, but I do fear that there's going to be a point where these amazing and frequent updates to the Galsa 4 Supernova update, like schedule, the update schedule that's now currently like fast and furious and even more content worthy than I expected is going to drop off, and we're going to be left with a game that's almost finished and not quite. So that's my fear. If it continues on this path and they actually prove me wrong, I do believe Galsa 4 will be one of the greatest 4X or space 4X games, or even 4X games, really. I think it's really close to being one of those, but I think it needs to continue this path of polish and this path of like perfection. I really want them to do everything they can to make this game perfect. And there are some lagging issues, and there's the things we've talked about here. There's certainly a few things that are just not in the game yet, and I'm hoping that they can see this thing through to the finish line and actually make a good game of it. Please, God, Stardock, prove me wrong.
Yeah, I'll go on and say that I know I've been a negative Nancy, but I do hope they actually pull this one out of the bag, because us 4X gamers have had so many knocks the past few years. We've been really excited about games and they've ended up being either not good or a lot of technical issues or just very bland. We need a win. Please, Stardock, give us a win. And then once you finish, please release a Fantasy 4X game. I think that's why I'm bitter, because I wanted a Fantasy 4X game. And all I got was Galsa.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Amen to that.
That's your motivation.
Well, it might be longer than you think, because unfortunately I know Derek Paxson left.
Yeah, so. I noticed that. I was really disappointed when I heard that. I was like, damn it.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think this has been a pretty good discussion, and I think we've done our best to be as objective as possible, considering everything that's going on in the background. But at the same time, I would love to revisit this at version 1.0. later on this fall, because I feel like that would be a really good opportunity for us to see if they've seen this thing through and these niggling little issues that they've actually managed to squash them and make this game as good as it can be. I mean, I'm not expecting it to be perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I do hope that they will continue this momentum they've got and finish it through. You know, I'm assuming, you know, fall is probably early fall. We're talking about like October-ish. That's my assumption. So anyways, thanks, Ilana, for being here. I really appreciate you taking your time and for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, happy to have you. And Ben, as always, thank you for being here, sir.
Cheers, Rob. Thank you.
Drexy, as much as I hate to admit this, it was good to have you.
Oh, thanks. So I know I sounded really negative, but someone had to be, man. I couldn't. I keep missing these podcasts where you guys circle jerk a game, and I'm just listening to it going, I'm just going to come on the next one and be really negative and show these guys everything's not perfect. This isn't a Barbie world. Are you not?
If I had, that's the thing, right? Nobody wants to hear me complain. I have complaints about nearly every game. I just try to get excited about them because I feel like that's why we're doing this. Like 4X games are our shtick. But you're right. They've fallen into a rut, and I'm hoping that games like Galsa 4 can bring them out of said rut and we can start to have a bit of a renaissance in the genre. So there's certainly enough of the 4X games being made that there might be one or two that actually slip through and make a big push in the right direction. So we can only hope.
Again, I just want to point out, it's not just Stardock. I'm not really actually excited about Dominion 6. I know that would like
surprise a few people considering how much I love that game. And yeah, Age of Wonders 4 again. It's just, I just keep taking these knocks. And I'm just a bitter old man at this point.
You are. I just
need something new in my life. And none of these games are doing it for me.
I saw that Pillars of, what was it? Pillars of Eternity or whatever. Like,
Path of Exile.
That's the one, yeah.
Have you seen Path of Exile 2?
Path of Exile you play with.
Oh, Path of Exile 2.
Yeah, it's making you bitter, old man. Like, you've got to get out there, mate. Get out there. Go out into the world and meet some new games.
There's another one out there for you, Drex. We'll find it for you. All right. Well, again, I appreciate you all being here. So this is Ilana, Ben, and Drexy, and Rob, which is me, for Explorminate. Until next time, keep exploring.